Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love, and you've just joined us on This Is Real. But I feel like sometimes a guy will slow down if the girl would actually check him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like now you're moving too fast. What do you want to have sex?
Yeah.
Like I ain't rocking like that right now. I think it would. You know, like if a girl came, I feel like I would like, yo, nah, like. Yeah. Funny enough, you know the Ruthie story where I said she thought I was gay or something because I didn't want to have sex.
Yeah.
But it felt, you know what? It was like the first time I actually felt like a man.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to explain it, but I felt like nah, we're not going to do this.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, she gets upset.
Yeah.
I've never experienced that in my life. It's always the other way around, right? And so I get to like make this decision and be confident of who I am in the Lord.
Amen.
You know, and it felt good.
Amen.
So I know like as a single guy, I would have been. They would have probably thought I was conceited or something. I would have been like, nah, because I just didn't want nothing to get in. I already know.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Like in your pretending, there's a cause and effect, right?
Yeah.
Right? There is. Like, you know for sure right now the things that you pretended before that led you into trouble.
Yeah.
You know, right now you know those things.
Yeah.
So to pretend to wind up in the same predicament.
Yes. Yeah, insanity.
I feel like it's like a little bit, and I feel like we constantly keep thinking that if I pretend this and I move over here and I pretend this, or people that move into different churches or different jobs or different relationships, right, trying to find something that they ain't never gonna find in unless it's in Jesus.
You know, like, man, now that you're saying that, I think sometimes that comes from, what about the people that don't know that they're pretending, or maybe that's the only way they know how to live. You know what I mean? They've lived their whole life is a lie, and they feel like they can only function through being. They're so insecure with themselves.
Well, it's and then it's all that's performance. Like then you start getting into performance.
I was telling you earlier. I feel like it's a distorted view of the gospel.
Yeah.
Like they don't know who they are. They don't know that God loves them for who they are, and God wants them to be where they're at, so He can change them and transform them. So they have a hard time with themselves, so they'll never confess to who they really are, and they'll never be transformed.
Hey, I'm gonna read you something. I sent you this.
Yeah, I read it.
I sent you this.
Thing was super fire.
I forget his name. I'm so sorry. I forgot the guy's name, but I think I forgot his name. But I'm gonna read this because I don't know. I thought this was so good. I don't even know if it goes with the show, but it's good. Okay, the thing says, please protect real pastors. Oh, you got it. Oh,
I got it.
There's a classic tension. It says in the prophetic charismatic community, we need to talk about it. Too many so-called prophetic people dishonor pastors just because they're no longer excited, entertained, or impressed. You think he's not gifted enough, but you're missing the point. Here's the real issue. You want mantles of fire, but you don't want feedback. You want a microphone, but don't want mentorship. Let's be clear. God didn't replace pastors with prophets. He gave us five gifts, Ephesians 4:11-13, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to mature the body, not divide it. Your pastor's not prophesying every Sunday. That doesn't disqualify them. Your boredom doesn't mean that they lack power. And TikTok prophets shouldn't talk you out of your God-sent leader. You're not bored because your pastor isn't anointed. You're bored because they're checking your roots and confront your inconsistencies. They care about your growth, not just your gift. Many of y'all don't want a shepherd. You want a stage. You don't need another prophetic word. Yeah, you need to obey the last one. You don't need another activation. You need discipline, deliverance, and therapy. You will never outgrow the need for a pastor. Not with prophecy, not with tongues, not with titles, not with YouTube followers. Maturity equals humility plus fruit. And pastors help grow fruit. Then it says, stop chasing leaders who affirm your gift while ignoring your character. You can't tell the difference between anointing and adrenaline, right? Mm. So anointing and excitement. That's why you dishonor healthy leadership in search of hype. Hebrews 13:17. You're reading it? You're following with me?
Okay. I'm in front of the top
part.
Oh. It says, God doesn't promote rebellion.
Okay. I'm on the obey those who rule over you. For they watch out for your soul. Stop grieving who God sent to grow you. If it's abuse, leave. Oh, yeah. But if it's offensive, submit, heal, and grow. You still need a pastor. And then he said, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I think like that stuff is kind of what's needed. Like, I feel like, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you're trying to distinguish whether a person is dealing in immaturity or is he really fake?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I know I feel like this sometimes, okay? So, because sometimes you get to know people, you know, people come through the church or whatever. And you're trying to attribute it. Sometimes, I guess for me, this is my struggle.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm trying to, like, honor a person without going, hey, that person, you with me? So I'm pulled back and I'm trying to honor because I'm attributing it to maybe it's just their immaturity.
Yeah.
But then let's say it's 5 years, six, seven yeah. years later. And now some of your own people are kind of like, you see them and they're like the best friends. And you know. Not from, is the person a good person or not, but maybe is the person a good shepherd or is the person a good prophet?
Yeah.
Or is the person, you with me? That's a tension for yeah. me sometimes because I don't want to be the guy that, wow, you know, I got to expose,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I also am, you know, I think in Revelation, he rebukes the pastor pretty much for not, I forgot where it's at. I think it's Revelation where he doesn't check the Jezebel spirit. He doesn't confront it.
Yeah.
He lets it lie around. Yeah. So I feel like people will be more real. Now, people are going to get offended. But offense doesn't mean leave. Not if they're a disciple.
Facts.
Yeah. Right? Because you see that all through scripture. And even in you. I remember when you went through the thing and it was like, which I always give you props for this. And I feel like I always have to say it for some reason. Somehow it always winds up there. Because I also know that it's not easy when somebody's like, especially if you're going through something.
Yeah.
But even when you're not going through something and we get into, hey, this is what you did. And I go, this is what I think. And then I know there has to be like a, oh, man. This dude, right?
Yeah.
But I also see the you stay. Because at some point, I believe you have the Holy Spirit. And at some point, if it's biblical and this person is, I mean, that's really a trait. Like, it's two-sided. It's just as hard for the person that's discipling you to tell you. Mm-hmm. It's just as hard. I never understood parents when they said, you know what? Esto me duele. You know, this hurts me as much as it hurts you. Yeah. I never got that. I was like, well, how's it hurting you? Yeah. I get it. It took me 50 years to totally understand the concept that it's just as hard for me to tell you, hey, don't go there or don't do that because I feel like, man, I know he really wants to go there.
Yeah, facts.
And I'm like, don't go there or don't date that guy. Because in my heart, I know, like, that's going to be so hard for them. And I feel it.
Yeah.
Right? Every time I shepherd somebody or every time I say, yo, like, I check them on the reel.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah. Especially because I feel like we want nothing more than to see them fulfilled. See them happy. And they have... You know, it's almost like you're able to see into the future or into like the outcome of what they're chasing because you know that although this might produce some sort of temporary relief or satisfaction, the real outcome of this is detrimental for your faith.
Totally.
And your walk. So I think that's where the battle is in the sense of like, man, they think that I'm taking away from them something that they want or is beneficial.
But yes.
Little do they know that, you know, I just want the best for them.
Yeah, because if it's been listen, let me tell you something.
You know what sucks for me? Not sucks. You know what I feel like that kind of like reveals to us our selfishness. You know what I mean? Because in a selfless state of mind, I can say to myself, this is not about me. You know what I mean? And if I've heard God said, hey, this is the voice that I'm giving over your life to lead you and guide you. Whenever you're telling me something that I'm like, man, but that's going against something that I want to do, or I feel like God's leading me, or even that, like, I feel like God put that in my life. Like, why would he tell me not to do that? You know, if I can step out of myself and be like, this is not about me. Yeah. You know, this is about the kingdom of heaven. And I've submitted to the fact that this is the voice of God over my life. I'm going to honor and do what they're saying to the best of my ability unto God. If what I'm passing up is supposed to be mine, it will be mine.
Oh, facts.
Yeah, I'll end up there. I'll without a shadow of a doubt, it'll be mine. Because whatever God gives to us is for us eternally.
Yeah.
You know, like, so the fact that I didn't get it right now, if I get it over there, then it was for me. And it probably wasn't for me right now.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing something in my life. He's preparing me. He's molding me. He's shaping me. But we get so caught up in selfishness that I want this right now.
Yeah.
Or I want him right now. Or I want her right now. Or, man, you just don't want me to see me. What? Like, stop.
You, yeah, because the real is that in everything you're saying right now, we say we believe in the process. Remember the season where everybody was talking about the process. Yeah. It was like the process was everything. Everybody was preaching the process, and it was the process. When you think about that, really what everybody wants is the end result.
Yeah.
Because if I talk to anybody, it doesn't matter if it's a businessman,
yeah,
church planter, anybody, and I start talking about their first days,
yeah.
Yeah, everybody eliminates all these years.
Well, everybody wants the stage.
But everybody wants, the finale. They want the finale. Like, they see you, even in working out, they're like, yeah, I want that. And you're like, all right, first we got to do this. And it's going to take you a good year just to really get you healthy.
Yeah.
A year, yeah, another year. Yeah, another year, right? Because they're looking at 5 years of working out. Yeah. So all of a sudden, oh, I'm going to do that in 50 seconds. You know, it's like, no. Like, my marriage is good because it took years of doing the vulnerable conversations, the heated conversations, the apologize over and over, repentance, forgiveness, and to the point where then after a while, you get it. You know, you're like, that's not worth it. Okay, we're not going to argue about that. Let's talk about this. Yeah, you get good at it.
You know what's key, I feel like, in that aspect is that this is a lifestyle. Like, it's not like a hobby. It's not like, even with the whole gym thing, like, people, I want to do this to get this body, but then when I get it, I'm done. No.
Like, you gotta stay healthy.
Exactly. Like, your choice to diet, your choice to live healthy, your choice to go to the gym is a lifestyle that's from now forever.
Let me tell you.
And same thing with Christianity. Like, that's why you move and maintaining it. Like, you've made it to a point to where, like, I'm not doing this so I can reap the byproduct of a good marriage, because then when would you arrive? The goal is to make this a way of life, so it's consistently in all of you, in every aspect of your life, something that you experience because of Jesus, right? But people think, I just need it. It's like when I tell people, if you're doing it just so they can respond, then your heart's jacked up. You do it because you are a good husband. You are a good friend. You are a good brother. Regardless of how that person responds, treats you, reacts, you're doing it because of the fruit producing you through the Holy Spirit and because of Christ. Not for a response, or else you'll never be fulfilled and transformed in it. It'll always be temporary. It'll be pockets of it. What are you going to say?
I was laughing because I was going to put myself out there. But that thought is, I teach that in when I was doing a lot of John Maxwell stuff, and I'm teaching companies.
Yeah.
I'm always telling them, I want you to always think growth, not goals. And usually people teach goals.
Yeah.
I said, I need you to think growth. Goals, they're just like, put a point. When you're thinking growth, it's just, okay, I got here and I got here. You know, you just keep going. But when you're thinking growth, you don't ever stop.
Yeah.
You're thinking, it's an eternal thought of growing. I'm constantly thinking growing. I'm constantly thinking maturing, evolving. Yeah. But I was like, I was laughing because I thought, you know, I said, look, Pastor Ernesto, you know, he said, hey, you want to start working out? And I said, man, you know, because I already know. Well, I'm the person that when I say yes, I don't want to be wishy-washy. So it's, you know, I'm not the guy, okay, and then like not. You know, but I'm already kind of yesing because I've talked to you in the past about it, and I was like, oh, maybe we need to work out together, right? So now it's the yes and when can I start, right? And so I was laughing because I'm like, you know, I think I'm gonna take people on the journey. You know, they're gonna see us kind of working out, but it's something that I wanted to do.
Yeah,
it's something that I wanted to do, and I just didn't. To be honest, if we're gonna be real, like you know, I always looked at the mirror and was like, well, I'm not I'm not a real big guy.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Not thinking from a healthy perspective. I wasn't valuing health. I was like always thinking of like only like the prison thing, right? So I came out, boy, I was 196 and solid. Yeah, bro, it was crazy. Yeah. It was crazy. Ruthie laughs because she's like, man, you know, now you're not like that. And when you when I couldn't even touch you when you were like all built, I couldn't touch you. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. She's like, I go, I'll do it for you again one more time, right? Yeah. So I feel like I kind of want to do that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But I know the commitment it takes. But with the mindset that I had, I would never be, I'm never going to sustain it. You understand?
Yeah.
Because I'm always thinking like, oh, I'm just going to get big, chest is going to get big, and get my abs again, and then, yeah. Which is what happened.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what you're saying. I got to think more of the standpoint, y'all want to get healthy.
Yeah.
And then that, I want to sustain that health because health is really the value.
Yeah.
It's not in having a pecs. Facts. Even though that looks dope.
Yeah.
You know, and I joke with my wife, I go, when I get that, I'm going to be laying in the pool. She's like, no, you're not. You know, you're going to be in el cuarto.
Adentro de la casa.
But even that, like, I feel like being vulnerable is a good thing. You know, like, you just got to get away, you know, to put a bow on this thing, you got to get away from other people's opinion of you.
Yeah.
You got to get away from, like, what are they going to say if I dress like this? You get what I'm saying? Because you dress like that because you like to.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are they going to say if I live like this? You know, like biblical things. Yeah. But, you know, even I think it all stems from that, right?
Yeah.
This appearance that I got to put up.
Yeah. I think it's important to be in a relationship with Jesus.
Well, yeah. I mean,
Because like that's the only,
that's everything.
Not even that. That's the only place where you find your true value and true worth and your true identity and who you are. And I don't know, grasping the fact that, and I'm saying this in the midst of still struggling sometimes with it, like grasping the fact that the king of the world says this about you, like he values you, he calls you worthy, he calls you loved, forgiven, like redeemed, he accepts you, he wants you, like grasping that idea and that fact and that reality is what empowers you to not care so much about what everybody else thinks. Of course, there's going to be people like your kids, your wife, your parents that are going to influence, but to embrace the fact that, yo, the person who created heaven and earth, the person who created creation, like the way he sees me is like extraordinary.
Yeah.
Like he has so much worth and so much value for me that it doesn't matter how anybody sees me. As long as I'm living according to how he sees me, I'm moving forward towards something. And totally. He sees me worthy and value broken. He sees you the way he sees you, in your mess, in your sin, in your brokenness, in your sickness, in your hurt. But he sees you that way, like that, and doesn't want to leave you like that. Like when you come to him saying, man, I am like this. I am hurt. I am lost. I am struggling with pornography or addiction or whatever it is. He knows and he wants to receive you like that and change you like that. And I think that that's sometimes we forget. We make other things more important than the fact that he doesn't want to. He's the only one who could change who you really are.
Yeah.
He's the only one who could get you out of your mess. So being confident of that and being okay with saying, you know what, Lord, like in this season, man, or it right now I'm struggling with this. Help me, man. You know, change me, transform me. Even like the guys in prison, like make sure you're being real with yourself from that sense too. Because sometimes I feel like a lot of the guys in prison start pretending to be somebody not to be accepted by organizations or be part of a clique or maybe not be pushed out or maybe not be sent out, but God sees you, man.
Yo, I want to change my life, but you're still writing a girl that you know you have no business in writing because she's still in the game, or writing friends that are still like, you get insane?
Still hustling on the side.
Still going to juntas. Still in sweet and low. You know, like, yo.
Cheese.
Stealing the ham from the kitchen and selling. Yeah, and I always, you know, every time we go in, you know, big shout out to all the guys and the girls out there. But, you know, we're always like, because if you're doing that, you're doing that because you feel like you have nothing and you're trying to, like, hustle your way to have something, but you're doing it the wrong way. When you get out, you think you're just everything's going to land on your lap? No, you're going to do the same thing.
Yeah. And go to what
still hustling a chick for her to send you money all the time?
Yeah.
You still got game in you. When you come out, you still got game. It starts in there. I just gave somebody advice a couple of days ago. I was like, bro, whatever you think you're going to do out here, it starts in there.
Yeah.
You know, I used to get, you know, because we were in the faith-based pod when they first started in Mineral Wells. Now they closed it down. So I was the first guy in there with the chaplain, and I worked for the lady who pretty much, Miss Dirkston. She ran the whole unit. And I was frowned upon because I, you know, was turned into the third floor, and I would say, yo, you got to get up. I want you guys in there, you know. And so they were like, man, we locked up. I'm like, nah, you locked up. It's like, I'm in college. I used to always tell people I'm in college. I ain't locked up. And so, but I used to hold them accountable because they would want to sleep to 10 or get there late. And I would tell them, yo, the way you're living, if you do, you stay like that. Like, I had to train my mind to get up and do the right things.
Yeah.
Like, get up on time. Like, if I kept sleeping till 11 or 12, I would have got out and still had that same mentality. You follow me?
Yep.
So there had to be a change.
Yeah.
So I would be the one that, hey, come on. And I say, yo, you don't want the bed? Let somebody else get in the faith-based dorm. Get out. They'd be like, yo, man, New York. When I got out, people wrote me letters and told me thank you.
Yeah.
But in there, they disliked me. They would be like, bro, who are you? Like, like, dang, bro, let me sleep. I'm like, nah. You joined the faith-based part for what? Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then we get up at 7. If not, go to the other side of the unit. Sleep all day.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, right? But for me, I felt like I had a stool. That was my first assignment. That was where I was pastoring.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I wasn't going to wait till I got out. That's when I had to respect Ruthie in letters. Like, that wasn't going to change when I got out here if it didn't change when I wasn't there.
Facts.
Out here, it was going to be harder.
Yeah. So not there in front of you.
So here's the thing. You don't have to pretend to be okay. You don't have to wear a mask to be accepted.
Amen.
Right? God isn't looking for performance. He's looking for your heart.
Amen.
And come to him real, raw, honest. I try to use all the real, raw, honest. Because that's where freedom begins. Chill.
Certified trio.
Chill. Yeah, be trio.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, I even sound funny saying be chill. But, man, thank you so much for tuning in to This Is Real Show with real people, real problems, real solutions. Don't forget to go to the YouTube channel. Hit like and subscribe. The notification bell, I think you ring that too. And man, you know what? I really would appreciate if you would send your family to get the new book, That's Crazy, No, That's God. Remember that we're going to take most of the proceeds to try to actually buy a home for people when you get out of prison. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I know we've been wanting it for a while. So I was like, wouldn't it be wild if the book, That's Crazy, No, That's God, pays for the house?
That'd be super wild.
I think that was dope. Before, we were doing buy a book, you know, we give a book to an inmate. Now I want to go above and beyond. I felt like God put it in my heart. The reason I'm saying it today, before I even share it with the planet, is it really my first time actually saying anything, because I feel like sometimes when God puts something in my heart, that's hard for me.
Yeah.
Right? Because you got to think, like, you get in your head, right? You're like, what if a million copies sell? Yeah. Like, what, right? And so once you say, hey, I'm going to do this for the Lord, you want to fulfill that, right?
Thanks.
So I know everybody thinks that's an easy thing. For me, I'm still vulnerable enough to really tell everybody that isn't an easy thing. So I put myself out there in a video, because then I'm held accountable to my words.
Amen.
You know, so I'll start
here. You said you're going to get that house.
You said you're going to get that house. So, yeah, obviously, but I need everybody to go get a book. And I'm still believing that a guy like me can hit the New York Times bestseller.
Amen, my name is Jesus.
Yeah, this has no forward. It's only God, right? So I don't have, like, I'll have endorsements, but no forward. And I felt like God wanted it that way, because he's going to take this book to places that I can never take, or any name could ever take, right?
Amen.
So I need you to go buy it. I need you to tell your family to go buy it. I think we reached, I don't know, I think we're close to 8 million or 9 million people. 10 million coming. Nine. I'm going to celebrate big for the 10. I'm giving away stuff for the 10. But we're at 9 million. Tell your family. Look, y'all are watching this. For those that are watching this in Pando, some are watching on YouTube. Make sure you tell your family to go to hit the YouTube channel. Why? So that they can see what you guys are watching.
Yeah.
And they can see, maybe join us at Get Rap Church on Sunday.
Amen. We'd love to have y'all, man.
All right. We got big news. Oh, we just had big news. This will be out after. So the big news already came out. All right, man. This is, like, I like being just as real and raw. Like, I don't like cutting stuff out. I'm just like, look, this is what
big
it
news
is.
Happened.
So, thank you so much for tuning in, man. We love y'all. Don't forget. Wait. There's more. I got one question for you.
Yeah.
One question before we leave.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, I did all that. You know, hey, listen. bear with me. Listen. So here's the thing. So I'm doing this thing, That's Crazy, No, That's God. I want you to tell me, has there been a That's Crazy, No, That's God moment for Pastor Ernesto?
Has there been a That's Crazy, No, That's God
moment?
Yeah,
when you were like, that's crazy. But, you know, you really know, you know, later it's God, right? But, like, something that happened in your life.
Man, I think there's been a lot of moments like that in my
life.
Sure.
Give me one.
Let me see. I don't know which one to think of. For me, I guess it would have to be the time that there was one time that there was a this instance when I was in a home in a rehab facility, and I was really good at completing things, but not like fully completing them to the full, my full potential.
Yeah,
just doing enough to get by. And
you were pretending.
Yeah, exactly. I was good. Pretending. Uh-huh. And we had this group where the guy was like, "Man, you know, it's not until I began to pray on my knees that I started seeing God move." You know what I mean? And at that point, I believed in God, but I was kind of like fighting with who God was and all that. I hadn't accepted Christ in my life or anything. So I was like, "Man, I ain't getting on my knees for nobody, bro." You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't pray on my knees. That's for the birds. And he's like, "That's why your prayers will never get answered." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, your prayers are never going to get answered because you don't get on your knees. You're prideful." So anyways, I was going through this process and I was about
to get out. That's the beginning of my sermon this week, but keep
going. I was going through the process and I was about to get out. And in my heart, I knew, man, if I get out the way I am right now, I'm going to be back. Like, nothing's going to change. So I went to my room that night and I was like, "Man, I'm going to get on my knees." So I got on my knees and my prayer was simple. And I was like, "Man, if you're real, show me. Like, if you're real, show me. Like, I'm tired of living like this. I'm sick and tired, and I want to know who you are, and I need change." And I fell asleep, man. And it was like 5 a.m, and I felt like somebody hit me in my foot. And I was like, and I got up and I looked up, and this guy's like, "When you wake up, come see me." And I like kind of dozed off, and I was like, "Man," like, it was weird to me. So I get up and I go to go see he was like the RA at the house, and I went to go sit down. And mind you, I've been there for months.
Yeah.
Like, and so I've seen this dude time and time again. We've talked, like, yeah. And he was like, "You don't remember me?" And I was like, "Remember you, bro? I don't even know you. Like, where am I gonna remember you from?" He's like, "No, bro, you know me. I seen you in the world at your sister's house, your sister-in-law's house, your brother-in-law's. You were selling dope, you were partying. Like, I know you. I was there doing my 12 steps." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, bro, like, I seen you. I know you're..." Bro, he started naming my wife.
He started
naming everybody. And I was like, "What the heck? Like, this is crazy." And he's like, "Yeah, man, like, I just want to know if you allow me to help you in your walk and help you in your life and help you, yeah, grow through this." And I was like, "What?" Like, it tripped me out. That's because, like, crazy. Yeah, I was like, "What the heck? No, that's God." Yeah. Because I was like, "Man, I literally kind of just prayed for this." You know what I mean? So after that, bro, I never got off my knees. I was at my knees every night. Wow. praying, asking
for stuff. Have you seen that guy?
I've seen him a couple of times when I got out, yeah. Because he's real good friends with my wife's sister. She's her husband. I'm sorry. My wife's sister, her husband, is his best friend. That's his best friend. Yeah.
That was like
But yeah, I seen him a couple of times, man. And that's just like, man, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was.
No, that was God. That was a God moment. Thank you so much. Yeah. Well, anyway, now for the second time, peace. That's a wrap. Thank you so much to all the real ones for joining us every single week. You can be a part of the crew by following us on all our social media outlets. Also, you can write us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267. And don't forget, stay real.